Father, thank you for your goodness and your love over us. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that Lord, we get the opportunity, Lord, to remember the baby who was born, who is now reigning king, who has all authority, who has all power, who is glorious. And so it's to you we come this morning, filled of adoration and worship. So Lord, as we just explore just a little bit from your word this morning, Father, we pray, send your spirit, pour out your spirit upon us, that you may change our hearts. And Lord, that we may give you the glory and all the honor that you deserve. Amen. Again, great to have you with us this morning. And particularly if this is your first time, thank you for joining us. If you've been around church for any length of time, you will have heard the story of the shepherds probably countless times before. But I wonder, have you ever stopped to think about the reality of that particular evening and the impact that it must have made upon them? I've been thinking about it. I've been wondering about how they would have described the events of that particular evening. And although I can't be sure exactly how they felt, but this is what I think the shepherds would have wanted to tell us. The night was clear. The stars were bright. There was a chill in the air, but it wasn't that unusual for this time of evening. And there were four of us. We were sat around. We were huddled together around a small fire. And we were talking. We were just telling the stories about the events of that particular day. And this evening had begun like any other evening. From time to time, we'd hear the noise. Our eyes would sort of stare into the darkness, or even down the hill towards the town of Bethlehem. But it was normally just the sound of an animal passing, or the snore of a sheep. The truth is that people didn't come up here much. People didn't really like us very much. No one wanted to be a shepherd, or even to be very near a shepherd. And why would they? It was a dull job, dirty, dangerous. The hours were antisocial. Shepherding, it's a sort of a lonely profession. So we kept ourselves to ourselves. We're separate from the rest of our community because we know what people think about us. We are the very bottom of the social ladder. Our work makes us ritually unclean. So we are banned from the temple. We're actually banned from every religious practice. You know, they don't even allow us to give testimony in court. We are the outcasts. We are the lowest of the low. We know our place. And because people don't understand us, they don't trust us. You know, they assume we're thieves, we're untrustworthy. Now, I've got to admit, actually, some of us probably are. You don't want to leave money lying, or in fact, you don't want to leave anything lying around here. But we're not all bad. It would appear that God had chosen an odd audience for the announcement of the birth of his son. You see, if you were God's PR consultant, I guess you'd have made very different choices. You'd have probably taken out an advert in the New York Times or maybe in the London Evening Standard, but that is not how God did it. God turns expectations upside down. So when Christ entered into this world, God, in his wisdom, chose an anonymous teenage girl as Jesus' mother, his son took place quietly, without any ceremony, and the announcement of his arrival takes place on a hillside to shepherds of all people. But this certainly wasn't without its drama. As I was saying, this night began like any other, until something in the night sky caught our attention. It looked human, but it wasn't like any man we had ever seen before. For starters, he's in the sky. He's actually up there, and he scared me. And the thing is, I'm not easily scared. But not only could I see him, I could almost feel him, because there was this intensity about him. But now actually we're all staring, and for a moment there is just deadly silence. I could feel my heart thumping. It's thumping. It's in my chest, and my mind's racing. My head is spinning. What do I do? Do I run away? Do I get out of this place? But I can't move. I'm frozen to the spot. We all are. What are we going to do? What on earth is going on? And then he spoke, and there was just power in his voice, this terrifying authority. Don't be afraid. It's a bit late for that, I thought. But as he continued to speak, something began to change within me. Terror that I had begun to feel began to ease. And I felt excited. There was this strange feeling of hope. Yes, I think that's what it was. I began to feel hopeful. And we were astonished by his words. I bring you good news, he said, that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by the sign. You will find a babe wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And then there was with them, these are countless heavenly beings, these creatures, these angels. We didn't know, but the air was heavy. It felt like a weight was pressing on me, a magnificent, a reverent glory. I was on the ground, and though that the terror had gone, I felt a very different kind of fear. Heaven was touching earth. And as the angels worshipped God with adoration and with love, and in this mix of awe, of reverence, of honor and worship, they give glory to God in this transcendent, this majesty, this holiness of God. And we were part of this. We joined in. And all I could think over and over again, why me? Why us? I'm not a good man. I am unclean. I'm sinful. And what I deserve is death, not to be in God's glory. And in that moment, I was just painfully aware of my sinfulness. I've never felt like this before. And I then began to remember a story that my dad had told me many, many years ago as a child about a prophet called Isaiah, who experienced God's powerful glory. And in that moment, surrounded by worshiping angels, I think I understood how he must have felt in that moment when he said, there's no hope for me. I am doomed because every word that passes my lips is sinful, and I live among a people whose every word is sinful, and yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. You know, I thought I was going to die. But like Isaiah, I found hope and peace in the words of an angel. Salvation has come to me. It has come. It's come to me. And I will never forget that moment when the light of God's glory lit up the night sky as I listened to the song of heaven's army just ringing across the hillside. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Peace. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. And I was trembling with inexpressible joy, but I was also filled with this incredible peace. It just felt right. And I just didn't want it to end. The gospel message is this powerful message of peace. For the peace of God comes to those who trust in Jesus Christ and who know that God always fulfills his promises. And Paul explains this when he writes in much more detail in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, because Jesus Christ does not just bring peace. You see, he is peace. I want to read to you just verses 17 to 20. It's Ephesians 2. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, therefore all people have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Northern Ireland in the 80s was a very interesting place to grow up in and live because of the Troubles. The Protestants and the Catholics were divided right across society, including the schools. In fact, the only time that we ever seemed to mix was on the school bus. However, in the early years at secondary school, there actually was very little mixing went on at all. The Protestant schools sat at the back of the bus. The Catholic schools would sit at the front of the bus, and there were often fights. But this was particularly apparent on days when it snowed. Both sides would bring snowballs onto the bus, and they would pelt each other with them. However, this was not done with any fun. It's done with real venom. The intention was to hurt. I remember sitting in the middle, keeping my head down, just wishing it would just stop. Similar tensions existed in the world that Jesus was born into. See, the term far off that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 was a very common Jewish term that's used to describe the Gentiles. You see, a barrier existed. Even the walls surrounding the temple symbolized that the Jews, how the Jews felt about the Gentiles. Warning notices made it very clear that the point that could not be missed, Gentiles keep out. A line was drawn, the wall of separation was obvious, and this included our friends, the shepherds, as well. They were considered to be no better. And it's into this background, into this tension that Paul writes and that Jesus comes into. But this, and actually Paul here describes how Jesus deals with all of this. See, Jesus was born into our world to tear down the source of the hostility. The law with its commands and its regulations. The law that was given to the Jews, but not to anybody else. But what we discover is at the very root of the fighting, of the hatred, of the bitterness, of the war, of the disunity is sin. But the law fails to provide a solution to it. So the only solution to remove division among men and women is the removal of sin. But Jesus, he goes even further. He abolishes the demand of the law because he completely fulfills it. He kept them perfectly and sinlessly. He became the perfect solution for sin by his death. In Jesus Christ, every person by faith is brought near to God through the blood of Jesus, irrespective of their nationality or their background. This is what Jesus accomplished through his birth, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. Through his death on the cross, by shedding his blood, our sins are forgiven. We are washed clean. We are given a new nature. By faith, we become part of one new humanity. And we see the first glimpses of this when the angels appeared to the shepherds on that first Christmas. Jew or Gentile, male or female, black or white, old or young, straight or gay, religious or agnostic, rich or poor, are now on equal footing. All must come to God in exactly the same way through Jesus Christ. The cross has put to death the hostility between God and repenting sinners. He provides reconciliation, which means hostility is turned into friendship. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have been reconciled by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" So in Christ, the greatest barrier is removed. Sin. Therefore, every other barrier is removed as well. Apart from Jesus, every person is helpless, is sinful, is an enemy of God. But by removing our sin, Christ gives us peace with each other and access to God. Ultimately, Jesus is the one who came to save people from death. He turns the prospect of meeting the Almighty, the glorious God, from one of terror to one of peace. Jesus brings peace between God and anyone who recognizes his Christ and who knows him as their Savior. So the question for you this morning is whether the news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection fills you with a similar emotion. See, it should do. As you reflect on the Christmas message, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his glorious peace, a peace that should lead you to praise God for his mighty salvation. But back to our story. You know, just as quickly as they had appeared, they're gone. The countryside was dark. It was silent again. And I began to pull myself together. I crawled back to my feet. And I can remember thinking, am I actually alive? Have I just dreamed all of this? And then I looked around at the faces of my friends around me, and I saw how white they looked, and I realized that this was no dream. What we had seen, what we had heard, would change us forever. You know, it wasn't a big decision to go to Bethlehem to see what the angels were saying was actually true. Not that we actually really doubted. Actually, you know, how could we? And yet, when we got there, there's still this sense of surprise. It is true. It's really true, right down to the details of the baby lying in a feeding trough and seeing him just as I had been told was enough to remove any doubt from my mind. This was the Messiah, the Savior. He has come. But by now I'm struggling to hold back my emotions. God's Christ, God himself, the Lord, has been born. And even now, what still brings a smile to my face is that he chose me. He chose to tell me this wonderful news. Why was I the first to be told? I've often pondered that. I'm not a king or a politician. I don't have any money. I'm certainly not privileged, not even religious. I am a poor, despised, ordinary shepherd. And I've thought about this long and hard, about the reasons why. Why me? And the only conclusion I can come to is that Jesus Christ came for people like me. That's why we heard first. Ordinary people, the poor, the despised, the lonely, the sad, the unloved. Jesus came to save me. He found me, and I found peace, just as God had promised. And yes, I'm still a shepherd. I went back to the hills. I went back to the sheep, to my ordinary life. That's who I am. I'm an unknown shepherd. You don't even know my name, but God knows who I am. You see, in a much deeper way, my life was never the same again. I met the Christ. That's why I'm telling you what I saw, what I know. Christ has come into our world. And you may think I'm crazy if you want to, but I know it to be true. I just can't keep this fantastic news to myself. I want you to know the truth that Jesus saves everyone who comes to him. You know, the Christmas message still remains the same today. It's a message of peace, of hope, of joy. And as I finish, I want to encourage you to respond in two ways to this story, to this message. First, like the shepherds, you are invited to rejoice over the miracle of Christ's birth. See, in one sense, it doesn't matter who you are. The message of Christmas is for everyone, for the rich, for the poor, for the happy, the lonely, the forgotten, the greatly loved. Remember to take time to thank God for the peace that is freely given to you because a Savior was born for all people. And then give thanks that he died and that he rose again to save you from your sins. But also remember the words of Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." And I want to suggest to you this morning that you have a part to play in this prophetic word that is ultimately, of course, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you to think about any practical ways that you can show the peace and the love of Christ to someone this Christmas time. It could be simply inviting them to join you on Christmas Day for Christmas lunch, who maybe they'd otherwise be by themselves. Perhaps you need to pray about who God would lead you to reach out to phone, maybe even just to pop around and visit with a small gift. But we show the love, show the peace of Christ this Christmas time. But secondly, I want to encourage you to tell others that Jesus has come to save them, even if it means maybe risking looking a little bit foolish. Is it not better to step out of our comfort zones than to keep such good news to ourselves? There are so many people this Christmas time who need to know that Jesus is both Savior and Lord. And I'm confident God will use your faltering testimony to have a similar effect to that of the shepherds. There was at least one person who heard and kept all that they said in her heart. It tells us that she actually pondered them very often. So be bold. Be courageous this Christmas time. One of the very simple things that you can do in sharing the message of Christ is simply to take a leaflet and tell them about the carol service next week. Very simple, very easy, but invite them along to connect and to hear something of the story of Jesus. I'm going to finish. I'm going to pray. Just pray for God's peace to be upon us. We'd know his peace, his joy this Christmas season. Why don't you stand with me? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for the peace that you have just generously, extravagantly given to us because of the birth of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came into this world that we might know peace with God. Thank you that you've called us by name, that you know us, you know everything about us, and that you care for us irrespective of our background, of our situation, that you love us. And today, I pray, Lord God, that we would glorify you by sharing your peace with others. Jesus, we love you. And today, we choose to worship you. Amen. Amen. Amen.